Hello and welcome to a special edition of the In the Money Players Podcast. This is a show for Monmouth Park this weekend, Saturday. It's the Pick Your Prize contest. I'm going to be down there. We figured we might as well cover it. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, in case you didn't figure that out already, in the Brooklyn bunker, but all dressed and ready. You're going to record a couple shows this morning and then hop on the C Streak and head down to Monmouth Park. Can't wait. Hope to see many of you out there. Please say hi if you see me. Joined today by a man who's been doing some excellent work on InTheMoneyPodcast.com. He's covered a variety of circuits at this point, but right now he's moved his tack to Monmouth Park, doing an excellent job covering this unique meet. He is Eric Solomon. Eric, how are things?
I'm doing well, Peter. How are you?
Life is good. Can't wait to get the rest of this work done and head out there. Looking forward to what hopefully, now my wife said she thought she saw some storm clouds, which would make the boat ride a little bit less fun, I'd say, but hopefully, we'll take the path that goes right by the Statue of Liberty, and I'll have some cool stuff to post on social media later. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Awesome. Yeah. The last I checked, the forecast for at least Oceanport looked pretty good. So I think, you know, knock on wood, I think we're going to be okay today.
I like it. That makes me very happy to hear you say that. We're going to start off. Monmouth, very excited about this early pick five, the win early, win often. We're going to start with that, and then we'll pivot and talk about the stakes race, the grade three Salvatore Mile later in the card. One cool thing about this early pick five at Monmouth is it's sort of like your early bird special. They'll run two, I think, before Belmont even gets to their first race. So it's a nice thing to take a look at and mess around with as you're preparing for your day of horse playing. It starts off with our first race. We've got Nickel Claimers, fillies and mares, going a mile 70 on the Monmouth dirt. Eric, how do you want to get this thing kicked off?
All right. We went back and forth between two horses in here. I'm actually going to use three on the ticket, but top pick, I went back and forth between Scatnap and Painter Fest. That's Scatnap the two, Painter Fest the five. And I ended up trying to take a little bit of a price with Painter Fest on top. Last time out at Tampa, I did not like that race very much. However, she ended up trying to set the pace. I think she's a much better horse when she is able to kind of stalk a little bit more. And I think she's going to get that set up today. So my hope is that kind of just kind of being able to sit off the front runners and make that move on the turn. I like the record at Monmouth Park. Two starts here, one win, one second. Maybe a chance to get Farron Peterson her first win at the meet here.
I like the sound of it. And you mentioned that there was a third runner you might be using on your ticket. It sounds like you'll have a Painter Fest as the top pick. How are you going to fill out the rest of them?
So I went the two Scatnap. This is a pretty cool horse, that 8-year-old mare with 11 wins. But she's started 47 times, and she's doing something for the first time today where she's running two turns on the dirt for the first time in 47 races. So I don't mind playing that, you know, first time angle with a horse at a longer odds, but always a question mark when you're taking a favorite doing something for the first time. It's a pretty significant drop also from a horse that was claimed for 16,000 a few starts back, been primarily focused on turf, coming back to the dirt, and she's capable on dirt for sure. And she certainly fits at this level. Kelly Breen, always a threat at Monmouth, and been pairing up with Nick Juarez right now. They've been doing well last week. I'm going to use the horse, but again, I just didn't feel comfortable making that horse the top pick. And then the other way I'm looking, number one, Wish You Were Mine. Horse, it's kind of had been a little bit spotty in terms of racing, probably maybe some physical ailments. Only five starts since October of 2019. Kind of regressing in form, but again, another horse that probably fits at this level. Getting back to two turns, again, another one that has a win over the track and one start here, was a winner last year in August in the slop. Jerry Hollendorfer, Isaac Castillo, another rider who's riding very well at the meet right now on this one.
You mentioned the two that I was going to use. Now, you made some very good points about Painter Fest, but I was thinking it might be a lock it up with the one and the two. What I liked about Wish You Were Mine was the best dirt figs in recent vintage, and I thought might have a pace advantage. And then Scatnap, just kind of a figures thing, best figures overall. And I agree, as a big favorite, the old Harvey Pack line, you don't want one doing something they've doing something for the first time. I'm totally sympathetic to that. But the figure edge is such, and the way I'm looking to approach this thing, I'll have some twos. So one and two for me. For you, it's the five as the top pick, the two also on the A line. And I'm going to write in the one as a B, unless you have any objection to that.
That's how I have it.
Beautiful. Let's move on to race number two. We've got Maiden 10 Claimers, three and up, going 5.5 on the dirt. I liked a horse in here. Number four, Debo, I thought was interesting. Bad trip last time in New York, bumped and wide, raced over what might not have been the best part of the track at Oaklawn the time before that. Third time off the layoff today. Lots to like in a race where there were some other obvious ones, but ones that I couldn't trust. I will mention them as Bs, though. For me, those would be the six, Uncle Skeets. Very meh second at the maiden special weight level forever ago. Comes back 18 months later as a gelding. No idea what we have here, but certainly wouldn't be a surprise. And then the three, Confectioner. This is the figure horse, but very exposed and unexciting. Still, I don't like losing everything when the figure horse wins, so I might find some ways to get some threes on my tickets. Eric, how did you see it?
Pretty much the exact same way as you did. I mean, you would have thought that I sent you the analysis that I had picked up.
I like it when that happens. It's usually a good sign on these shows.
But I pretty much saw the exact same thing from Debo. Went back to watch the Belmont and the Oaklawn races. I think probably fits at this level at the 10K claimer on the drop. You know, Ask Me Since horses have been a little bit cold, but I at this meet so far. But it's not uncommon for him to kind of feel things out of the meet before he starts, winning in bunches. And I think he has some live runners throughout the weekend. So I also made Debo my A horse. I completely agree with Confectioner and Uncle Skeets. To me, Uncle Skeets, this is a horse that. What do you do with a horse like this? To me, in the horizontal, tickets. I think you don't want to be knocked out because a horse like this wins, because he seems so obvious. But again, there's so many question marks. So typically it's a horse I'll try to beat within the single race bets, the exactas and trifectas, but in the multi-race, to me, I think you need to put him on the ticket. Another horse that maybe, I could throw in there as a B or a C, looking at Makoto, 9-2 for Jorge Duarte. Third off the layoff, one dirt start, but that was on debut. So a lot of times, I'm willing to draw a line with that start. Mostly on turf after that, actually all on turf after that at debut. Drops in class, may just be kind of a sneaky horse in a race that could wind up being pretty wide open.
And what number is that one?
That was number five.
Number five, Makoto. All right, we'll put that one in there as well in our array, and we'll move it right along to race number three, the hinge of this early pick five at Monmouth. We've got $16,000 claimers, fillies and mares, going six on the dirt. And Eric, we'll keep it with you.
All right, top pick is High Time Valentine, number six. Ran against Nora Red and Nora Rad, the one on opening night here 2 weeks ago. Drops in class. I think that she's just a better filly than she showed that night. She's the only multiple winner in the fields, so I always kind of like that angle a little bit. That's sort of why I liked her 2 weeks ago. I thought her race two back at Tampa against optional claiming starter allowance group was very strong. And I think there's more pace in this race than there was in the race 2 weeks ago, which I think favors her as opposed to Nora Rad, who is the 9-5 favorite. And the other one I'm using here, second off the layoff for her, a lot of speed from the rail. Jose Farrar riding another one riding very well at the meet, leading rider right now. And my question is, can she hold on if she's pressured? And there is some other speed in here, but her last was good enough to at least consider her here.
Once again, we're reading each other's mail here, Eric. I thought that High Time Valentine deserved another chance, mostly just like what you said. That run two back I thought was impressive, closing against the flow that day. I mean, it was bad last time, but also kind of caught chasing wide. Has that run over the track now. Should be more pace in here with Bahama Pearl to keep Nora Rad honest. I was going to make the six my A, and I was going to use both the seven and one as Bs with the thought that I wasn't sure which one would be the best speed. and let me clarify, Norrad is more likely to be the best speed, but also 9-5 on the line versus 6-1. I felt like there was some worlds in which the 7 might be able to get loose or prove best of speed over Norrad, who certainly wasn't overly impressive last time, but has those excuses, second off the layoff and, you know, the leading rider in the irons. I'm somebody who tends to pay attention to that. So we're very similar in race number 3. Let's see what happens as we move on to race number 4, where we've got $25,000 claimers, fillies and mares, going 5.5 on the turf. This was a race where I have my notes mixed up in front of me because I'm looking down. Okay, now I'm caught up. I thought that the number 2, Temperance, had a chance to prove the best speed in this spot, and I wanted to keep her on side. And I felt like the 6, A Girl Named Jack, very interesting. The route experiment didn't work. Getting back to turf sprinting, this may just be her game. I think she wins off the race 2 back. So I was going to try to play around with the 2 and the 6 in here. How did you see it?
I'm definitely with you on the 6. That's my top pick, A Girl Named Jack. I really like that race at Pimlico going 5. I think she's kind of a good mid-pack horse, and I think that really fits the profile of this race because, like you said, I think you're going to see speed on the inside from both Cindy's Prayer and Temperance. Both of them, Temperance coming off the layoff, and I'm not sure Cindy's Prayer is as effective at the 5.5 that you get here. I think she's a little stronger at 5. So I'm looking for that, looking for A Girl Named Jack to kind of hopefully be just streaking down the center of the course and picking up all the pieces here. Other horse that I use as a B or a C, but another cool horse on here, the 5 Beaux Arts. I'm not sure I've seen a running line like this. This horse has been at Monmouth 9 times, has sprinted here 8 times, and has finished 2nd every time, all 8 times at Monmouth, facing a lot of better horses than she's faced here. She's been lightly raced over the last couple, this year and a half, but her 2019 form, if she can get back to that while getting back on the turf, certainly holds up against this field. She has been even though she has a lot of seconditis here, she is a 2-time winner. So, and you see Russell Cass 2nd off the layoff sometimes, he can pop with some long shots at this meet for sure.
Fair enough. Give me a recap of your numbers in this one, please.
5, 6, and 5.
Just 6 and 5 for Eric in race number 4. And we'll move it on to race number 5. We've got $7,500 claimers, 3-and-up fillies and mares going 6 on the dirt. The big question, how are we going to get paid?
On my ticket, I'm singled to the 7 here. Any day is her day. And I just kind of think that the other 2 main contenders here, there's a legitimate chance of them kind of dueling each other into submission here. Wayne Potts tied for leading trainer of the meet. This has been a good angle with him so far, where he's had horses off these kind of short 2-month layoffs. They're joining his barn for the first time, dropping in class. He's got them spotted well. He had a winner a couple weeks ago for Koskiuko, I think, on opening day. Similar kind of profile there. I think that she's just going to be able to, her recent form isn't great, but on the drop, I think she is likely to pick up the pieces. The other 2, I kind of put them as C's on, as maybe cover horses and, horses that might, if the track seems to be playing kind of speed, I might upgrade a little bit, but Tough Bird, the 2, last 2 have been pretty bad, but does have fit figures that make sense for this level. And then the 6, Tea Party, coming in from Tampa, another one coming off of a bad race, but all speed. But again, my concern is that the 2 of them, they're pretty much 1-run type horses. And if they have to fight for the lead, I just see them both getting tired in the stretch.
I definitely see your point. I mean, I saw it. I have the same 3 numbers and I kind of saw it in reverse, where I was going to use the 6 and the 2 on the A line and the 7 on a B line. But I'll tell you right now, from a gambling theory point of view, I think your approach of trying to pick the 7 and take more of a stand, especially with first time pots. If this was Alan Studer on YouTube doing Around the Turn, you'd get the point this round, and I think I'd get 0 for being a little more master of the obvious. I do have some excuses I'll talk through on Tough Bird, but the 6 Tea Party felt like that was just getting caught up in a fast pace, and depending on what we see from Tough Bird in the spot with off of two not great runs, I thought there was some world in which either the six or the two, one of them doesn't show and the other then gets the race, in my opinion. So I kind of wanted to use both of them. With two, Tough Bird, I felt like was really in the hunt before having to steady out last time at Belmont. And then I'm very forgiving of runs that precede layoffs, just because it seems clear that something went wrong. And then if you go back to the race three back, the race four back, Tough Bird looks to live up to her name, being very tough in this spot. So 6 and 2 for me. And then the seven, you made a very eloquent case. I won't build on it other than to say any day is her day, gets the best trip if the top two duel and probably wins. So that covers the early pick five at Monmouth tomorrow, Saturday. But we have stakes action later in the card. I think we should get to that. It's the Salvatore Mile. It goes as race number 10. This one is scheduled for, what time is it scheduled for? 4:28 Eastern. And I'll let you kick off with our stakes race, Eric. Who do you like in here?
I think that this could be kind of the four-year-old coming out party for the favorite New York Traffic. You go back, and I thought his races leading up to the Kentucky Derby were really good against Maxfield in the Matt Wynn and against Authentic in the Haskell. The whole thing with Mike Smith and Authentic and the stretch of the Haskell that's been kind of beaten to death, but this is a horse that was passed and kind of kept finding in that race. I thought it was a good race for him. You can give him pretty solid excuses in both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Again, facing better horses, was way wide in the Derby, pretty much, in the 4 or 5 path, pretty much every step of the way. And then had the bad stumble at the start in the Preakness. Never really was able to get position and wound up at the back of the pack in that race. Came back in May off the layoff and decimated a field of state bred optional claiming allowance horses at 7 furlongs. So I think just exactly what you wanted to see from this horse coming back off the layoff. I think is able to, be right near the front. Doesn't have to be on the lead, but can be close with Paco Lopez. And I think it's going to be very tough in this grade three race.
Completely agree. A very simple case for New York Traffic coming here with the best figs in form. I'll throw in the hot trainer. And then, by the way, should also get a perfect trip. Probably has the speed to lead if they want, but could also sit off of other runners and go on with it. Those looking for backups, I'll throw in the 10 Pirates Punch, who ran so well in this race last year. Mm-hmm. If somehow this one can clear, could get very brave and be dangerous out there if a big enough price. And if the top pick doesn't show up and this turns into more of a pace meltdown situation, or even if the top pick does show up, but, gets reserved early and then moves early or something like that. West Will Power, I thought, was a little bit interesting at what I'm hoping will be a bigger number than the 6-1 of the morning line. Just looks ready for a stakes try. Could be the one to benefit if this turns into a pace meltdown. So mostly the 7 for me. Mix in the 2 and the 10 for your verticals and maybe some deeper horizontal backups. Did you have any others to mention in the Salvatore Mile, or is it single and move on?
I agree with you on Pirates Punch, and I kind of went back and forth with West Willpower, but there's one other horse that I was looking at, and that's the 1 Galerio. I look at this horse as this is a 21 out of 24 on the board, 9 wins, 11 second place finishes, mostly Maryland based horse. To me, my how this horse was available to be claimed for $35,000 in November is beyond me. But since being claimed by Dale Bennett, ran 3 quality races at Laurel in Stakes Company with Maryland Breds in January, and then with Open Company in February and March. Came back and dominated an optional claiming allowance field at Pimlico in the slop last time out. Might be a touch below these, but certainly this horse knows how to win, has the rail in a mile race, which is not a bad thing at this track. I think certainly could, again, if Pirates Punch can't clear, if New York Traffic can't get there, they both go wide, I think you might be able to keep finding on the rail.
That's interesting. I mean, if it's a speed track, I can see it. If it's not a speed track, I can't see the trip working out. But if it's a speed track and then some other trouble happens, we'll see what happens with these lines. I mean, doesn't it feel like in real life, the one and the two have to be longer numbers than their morning lines?
Definitely. And my guess is that New York traffic's probably going to be a little bit lower than the 9 to 5, which is not ideal. Right? Yeah. I think Pirates Punch might get better, even though as the tricky post 10 might be a little bit lower than the 5 to 1 there too. So I think if they drift down, I think that does allow the one and the two to drift up a little bit.
Good stuff. All right, Eric. Well, thank you very much for making time for us and coming on. We'll continue to read your stuff with interest over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, and we'll look forward to having you back on these airwaves soon.
Sounds good. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much, Peter.
Cheers. And we'll give some other thank yous as well. But let's throw out a shout out to our In the Money Plus editor, Tyler Wissman, who's been doing such a good job helping out on the website, helping find people like Eric to bring their excellent opinions to you. Gets a shout out for that. We'll thank Eric once again. Most of all, though, I want to thank all of you for listening, making these shows so much fun to do. Once again, I'm at Monmouth this weekend. Come say hi. It would be great to raise a glass if you see me. And that's going to do it. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas for Natal. May you win all your photos.